Dustin Faber says that in Georgia, we had milk in bags. Bags that contain milk are excellent for obvious reasons. Wow, like American Georgia or African Georgia? Like, I find it so difficult to believe that American Georgia would have milk bags. Welcome to episode 127 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I like coffee. It's an addiction. It's pretty bad. I don't have it. I get really bad headaches. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I am trying to keep myself away from myself.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I'm the official sequel to Pac-Man World Rally.
Wow. That's legit.
That's, yeah.
Like,
I want to be a sequel.
Should we
to a game.
Bury you along with that terrible game?
No, we've made some improvements.
Oh, do tell.
Are there taxes in it now?
Yeah. I'm sorry, we're going to have to tax the repairs.
What?
What? Do you need new tires? Well, they're only $100 for four, but the tax.
Ooh. I mean, that's, yeah. That's where they
expensive.
Get you.
That's where it gets
you. Super expensive. That happens.
So, yeah. You know, guys, we could talk about taxes for the next hour.
Could.
But what I'm more curious about is, have you played any old video games lately, and if you have, could you tell us about
it? Yes. Oh, you did. Good. Go ahead,
yeah,
Hunter.
Yeah. Go ahead. I can talk about it too.
Do it.
Please do.
Anybody who follows me on social media, recently I've been putting a lot of time into Chrono Trigger for the Super NES. That is definitely the game I have been playing.
That is definitely a quality choice, my friend.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
It is a video game. it was one of those games that I kind of skipped over. My brother, who had been on this show a couple of times, that was like his game to play, so I would just watch him play the game. And there was a lot of things I never really got about the game. Just because, I mean, it's kind of, you know, you typically when you get an RPG in front of you, there is this unspoken kind of mantra of like, this is going to be a more advanced game. There's going to be a lot more things going on. And as a, you know, growing up, you know, my brain still to this day, my brain doesn't work that way. But I am glad that I actually waited to play this game now that I'm an adult. At least that's what my driver's license says. But
that you waited to play it.
Right, so it's Chrono Trigger. I mean, it's one of the top 10 RPGs on the Super NES, if not of all time. It's definitely, a lot of people really praise this game, and there's a lot of very interesting things that happen in this game that I'm excited to do. But I am getting to that point within the game now where I'm playing more of the health management simulator. Where you've kind of get yourself into a routine of this guy attacks, this person heals, this guy attacks, this person heals. Which, I guess at the end of the day, I don't play a lot of RPG games, so I'm very selective on the ones that I do play. And those games that I have played, I've enjoyed playing, but then I feel like at a certain part in the game, it's just like, okay, how fast can I level my character up? What great weapons can I get before I fight? And do I have enough health packs or tonics or whatever it is to make it through the next boss? Mm-hmm. Because it's more of a, you know, it's a paint by numbers kind of a thing. Like, you'll figure it out within the first couple of rounds. And then it's like, okay, again, it's a video game. And so everything's kind of stagnant and predetermined. It's not like Dungeons and Dragons where it just, things can just flip, you know, which is what I'm used to playing in terms of a role-playing game. So I'm enjoying the game. There's a lot of little things in the game that I'm glad that Square did that I found interesting. So much, in fact, that I felt the need to write about it. But just to quickly touch on them, the terms of Marla, who you crash into at the Millennium Fair. And then you go back in time and you find out she's actually Princess Nadine. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Something like that.
Sounds good to me.
But yet the game still refers to her as Marla. So not only has she decided to step away not only from the royalty that she's part of, but even her namesake, which I found extremely interesting that she hates the position that she's in so much that she's even willing to step away from her name. Now, granted, you can change her name. It doesn't have to be Marla, but I'm a default guy. So like I always go for the default name. Which there's actually a great article by Jonathan Higgins about, I think it was Jonathan Higgins.
Yeah, probably.
I don't remember. One of the Jonathans wrote a great article about changing the names of characters to like his family members. So those characters meant even more to him because they represented, you know, people that he actually knew, which I thought was kind of cool, but I've never had that. I'm the default guy, you know? Another thing I thought was kind of neat is when you come across Robo, which is a robot that was decommissioned, and Luca, the engineer that you come across, she's the one who puts him back together. Marla makes a comment about what happens if we put him back together and he attacks us. Mm-hmm. And she states that robots aren't evil. It's the people who control them are. And I thought that was kind of interesting because not even 20 minutes later, after he comes back, he runs into like a bunch of his quote unquote friends who are just a bunch of other robots. And they state that he is defective and they shamed him. Shaming a robot. Like that was so weird. You know, it was such a weird kind of like, oh, that's. But I mean, you know, I'm enjoying the game. I kind of wish there was more character development. I'm a big fan of Final Fantasy II. So I will never forget the day and the time and the scene of Final Fantasy II with Cecil, and he becomes the paladin rather than the Dark Knight, and that whole scene of you just having to take the damage, like that was so beautifully written. Like I'm waiting for things like that in Chrono Trigger, and I'm just not getting it. Fair enough. You know.
That was a remarkably insightful deconstruction of a classic title, Hunter. It is a privilege to have you on this podcast.
Do you want me to pay you the money I owe you now or later?
Later.
Okay. It's awkward if we do it now, right?
Right. That's correct. Also, you acted like you misspoke when you said Robard. But I think there's potential there. That totally sounds like an indie game someone would try and kickstart. Robard, the singing robot. The circuit storyteller.
Sounds like another crazy game idea.
It does.
Yeah, we're not even supposed to have one tonight. You're just getting extra credit.
It's going out
which
there.
Which is appropriate.
Apparently my words can't come out of my mouth like they're supposed to.
Credits.
It's fine.
Pay two credits.
It's all right. Robar.
Yep. Robard.
Jason Lamb, go.
Okay, Robard. Robard is the tale of a robotic bard. Wasn't his original programming purpose, but after his master was unfortunately died, all he had left was the memories of, you know, his master, a former bard, playing music. So, you know, he wanted to carry on his legacy. Fortunately, he doesn't really have skills to play music because he's a robot. So you go on this quest to basically, you're trying to figure out how music is made. And throughout the game, you battle musical-themed enemies like birds and whatnot. And as you absorb their power. You learn different noise-based attacks.
Wow.
In the magical land of Zanzibia.
I'd play it.
I'd kickstart that.
There aren't that many rhythm-based RPGs out there, because like the attacks could be like brief little rhythm-based challenges. Holy crap, yeah. That's actually an idea that would work.
There is something similar.
There
to
is,
that.
Okay. I was about to say, I was like, yeah. There has to be.
Yeah, it's the game's called Necro Dancer. And I believe it was made by, what's his name, Kenneth Pope, who did Papers, Please.
Oh, okay.
That's probably not right.
That's okay. Well, our fact checker will show up eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you went where you went, Jason, because at first it sounded like it was a quest to like go take piano lessons or something. I was like, that's
no. No, F that. He'd just download that. Yes.
Well, other than Robard, Jason, did you play any
Billy.
Old video games?
So oh, no.
What is that? I think I know this.
I didn't play any retro games. I didn't play any retro games. I've been kind of obsessed with a game called War Thunder. So
War Thunder.
It's free to play.
And I will pass.
Wait, War Thunder?
War Thunder.
Ooh, it's a next gen MMO.
It's an online World War II combat game. You can either be planes or tanks.
So you have to play with other humans.
Yeah.
Can you play it on your own?
No. Only other humans.
I hate those games.
Oh, I love those games.
Well, I don't hate them all, but I hate MMOs.
It's not really an MMO. You're mostly just you join a game and you're just put in with 30 other players.
Like even Hearthstone, I'm the weirdo who gets more excited for the new solo quests than I do for the new sets of cards. I'm that
right.
Guy.
Fair enough.
That is me.
That is truly retro of you.
Perhaps. I guess so.
I mean, that's how we learned how to play games.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know?
That's why Hotline Miami 2 was what I anticipated this year, because you don't play it with people. You just dig in and play it on your own. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to worry about the network effect as well when it comes to games like that.
The network effect?
Yeah, what's the network effect?
The network effect is a theory that... for something to work, you need many of them. So take like a fax machine. If you're the only person with a fax machine, you have nobody to send a fax to because nobody has a fax machine.
Right.
You need many fax machines for the fax machine to work correctly. Much like many MMOs, if nobody's playing the game, then ultimately the game is pointless because it cannot be played without multiple people playing the game.
Right.
That is the network effect. Fax machine.
Eric Hunter. Right, the fax machine. Yes. I'm totally going to start calling myself that. I'm going to deliver cold, hard truth and call myself the fact machine.
There you go.
Terrible idea.
So, yeah.
What have you been playing there, Bailey?
Hotline Miami 2, yeah. Wrong numbers.
I pulled a big FU to this podcast. I've been playing new games, not old games.
Screw this podcast.
Old games. Screw that.
Sorry, folks. Show's over.
I played Hotline Miami 2. I beat Scene.
Heard the controls were terrible.
They're perfect. They're flawless. You know what? No, they're not flawless. I won't go that far, but they're good. They're fine.
Yeah, because they added a bunch of different... gameplay mechanics like the split shooting and stuff like that. Dual shooting.
There are more tweaks than additions. Not that we have to get that nuance, but it's so similar to the first game.
Apparently we do. That's exactly what we have to do.
That's true. That's all I have to do.
I mean,
but yeah, I beat the 12th scene. I guess I shouldn't talk about a new game. But yeah, I'm playing Hotline Miami 2 and Pokemon Shuffle. So not only a screw you to this podcast, but a screw you to the popular sentiment out there that free to play is evil, and you don't have to purchase anything. You can play it for free. I just captured a slowpoke while we were discussing the podcast before we started.
The hell?
Well, he is slow.
I had someone on Twitter say that they were like ethically against the idea of a microtransaction game, and I just kind of tried to just neutrally. I asked, why? what is evil about a free game? Like, my point was, I actually did go ahead and say this. I said, I think it's more unethical, and this is something, this is classic gaming related, because you would see this more in the past, before the internet, before magazines were as easy and stuff, but the information out there. I think it's more unethical that games used to be like $50 for the whole thing, and it sucked. Like, you go pay full price for a game, and it was awful. Like, a free-to-play game, you see, do I like this? Yeah, I do. I'm going to support the developer and pay a few bucks for something. So I don't think that at all. I asked for his opinion to elaborate a little bit, and he said, well, one point he brought up is that for kids, they don't understand the whole idea where money comes from, and, you know, they might get frustrated, they might, you know, ask the parent, oh, buy this, you know. And but
after, oh, that's good. That's logical.
That's an interesting point that I never considered. But in playing Pokemon Shuffle, it's the perfect game for kids because there's a time limit. Like, you know, the whole classic mobile game, like wait a half hour and then you can do another thing. Because
yeah.
You have 5 energy at a time. So you can do 5 battles and then you have to wait a half hour for the next energy point or whatever. It's a heart. I don't know. We'll get to that later, in fact. So I think it's perfect for kids. You give it to the kid, they play for like 15 minutes, and they have to wait a half hour before they can play again. I totally need to go tell him that on Twitter. I'm going to start a whole argument again because it's perfect for a kid. Don't want your kid playing for hours? Cool. Give him a free-to-play game. But forces him to stop and take a break, just like Earthbound wanted us to.
I think you can go both ways with that. I think there's a definite line when it comes to the microtransactions, mainly to the point. Here's why I think people are so upset about microtransactions. And this I agree with. Is not the idea of what microtransactions are, but what they can be.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go ahead, but I will just say real quick, I do think there's a huge difference between free to play with microtransactions and the category of pay to win, where you cannot advance in the game unless you pay. That's sucky. That's
a huge difference.
Yeah, so that's one arm of it. The other arm would be having to pay for game mechanics that should already be in the game, mm-hmm. which again becomes an opinion, because if the developer feels like this, you know, basic or complex or advanced game mechanic will, you know, maybe not necessarily break the game, but, you know, make it 10 times easier, then yes, you have to pay for that. Whereas in game B, that may have similar game mechanics and even a similar storyline and genre, already has that built in at a set price. Why am I paying for mm-hmm. this? That I think that is what microtransactions can become. But the problem is that we've been dealing with microtransactions at least my entire life of playing video games. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I had no problem pumping quarters into the Simpsons Arcade Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's an interesting
because
point. Yep.
I was making a transaction to continue to play because I had died. Nothing has changed except for that there's more of them out there now, and they entice you to play because it's a free to play. But if you want to add more to the game, you can pay for it. But I think legitimately, the biggest fear is what it can be, not what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, that made a lot of sense to me. Thanks.
Jason, how do you feel? I got Bailey won over.
Oh, no.
I'm taking over the world.
I'm completely fine with free-to-play games as long as they're not either paywalling something or forcing you to pay to proceed. Like the War Thunder game I'm playing, yeah, it's free-to-play, and you've got to play a bunch to unlock new better planes, but it's not like you're ever going into a match where, oh, I'm against these super great jets and I'm playing as a biplane. It's like, okay, I can only use a biplane right now, and I'm playing against other people with biplanes. I could go ahead and buy a bunch of new planes and automatically get to this other level in the game, but at the same time I can just keep playing and these things will slowly unlock.
Yeah. So, and even more important to this whole conversation is the game has to be good to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if the game is just shit, then one, nobody's going to play it. Two, nobody's going to pay to play it. So, I mean, you have to have a viable product there. I mean, Quake Live is a perfect example of this. Quake 3 Arena has been around for years. Mm-hmm. Like, this game is almost as old as I am, you know? It's a free-to-play model. Anybody can play this game. And then if you purchase the subscription, then you get added on features. The only reason I even purchase a subscription is because I definitely already got my time out of this game without paying anything. And it's a high five to the software developers for making such a great game. Yeah. You know, like, I felt just compelled to be like, you know what? I feel bad playing this game now because I haven't paid for it.
Yeah, if I've sunk a ton of hours into something, I'll be like, you know what? Maybe I'll pay for the premium account.
And I'll freely admit, there's been a few games, not many, only like two or three out of dozens I've tried, but I've tossed a couple bucks. I've been like, I had a lot of fun with this. Totally worth a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that, you know, people won't be able to make games if they can't get paid to do it.
That's all it's about. It's about making games. Yeah. You know, like if the more money I give you for a good product means the more games you're going to, the more money you're going to get to make more games, which means more games for me. And I just, you know, it's a beautiful cycle that I live every day. You know,
yeah. We've also had some great points brought up in the live stream chat. What do you call it? The comments. Now, the point is, Aaron Alcorn says, you know, to me, more ethical than asking $1 for in-game monies is requiring I give access to my contact lists and other personal information. Good point. Dustin Faber says the amazing Team Fortress 2 is free to play. Your move. I mean, yeah.
I'm gonna go on a rant here.
Yes, I love Jason.
I despise the gaming community's preoccupation with the word ethical. We keep labeling all this shit. Oh, is it ethical or not? Who gives a shit? Don't play the game if you don't like how it works. It's not like they're like, hey, we're going to take your personal information and sign you up for kiddie porn. Like, that would be unethical.
I have a
that would be unethical.
And your entire family's going. No, actually, you don't. You're just a game.
Yeah, you're just signing me up for a mailing list.
It's not a
big deal.
Can I take this rant a step further, Jason? May I piggyback on this?
Oh yes.
Because not only am I all in on where you're going, but I will even say I don't understand how someone of all the things in life, in their human existence, to be passionate about. Video games I can maybe defend as a passion. Maybe. But the ethics of, like, this such a tiny nuance, and they act like it's so important. It's like, who? Yeah, I'm with you. Who cares that much?
Or
like,
it's still
away.
Such a small niche.
Like,
it's a game.
Oh, no.
It's a game.
It's not ethical to knock these features out, even though I'm playing this game on my device that was made by child labor in China somewhere. But no, the feature they've locked in, that's an ethical. Yeah.
And think about any industry that's as big as gaming or bigger. Like, yes, there are discussions about the ethics, but I feel like it's not as annoying, if I can just throw that out there. Like, movies, sure, there's debates about, you know, production and how they're made and stuff, but you don't see, like, these it's not even worth talking about.
It's an interesting thing because it's like a lot of the time, especially just, you know, scouring the net and seeing these ethical conversations about things. It's like it all starts off with, well, so-and-so slept with so-and-so. Okay, well, one, that's their personal life. Why are you even bringing this up? It has nothing to do. They're grown adults. Let them do whatever they want to do. Oh, it's for a free game? A free game? That's why you're upset? Like, come on. Like, nobody makes money off of a free game. Like,
yeah, right now.
You know, cancer still needs to be cured if we put all of our energy into that rather than a group. The gaming community is still considerably smaller, so much smaller and infant compared to movies and arts and books. It's
banking,
like the amount of
engineering.
Yeah, it's
archaeology.
It's like, really, you're going to put this much
education.
You're going to put this much time and effort and
fishing
anger into something so fishing.
popular across the world. You don't hear people up in arms about this fisherman said something on Twitter. Now let's get 50,000 people to sign a petition to not buy his fish anymore.
It's true. I want his fish. They're the best because he is the best fisherman. I don't know. It's a strange world that we live in.
Yeah,
like, I don't know about you guys, but I try to have fun.
Yeah. Human beings.
You guys heard
awful.
Of fun?
Yeah.
I like fun.
And if it's I so don't, weird. I turn it off.
Yeah.
And I never think about it again. Because my time's valuable.
And
your time is very expensive.
I don't want to spend too much more time on this. Like, I will play devil's advocate and say that there are issues that we should be respectful of and pay attention to. But there's a difference between making sure you're not being awful towards other people and being preoccupied with how awful or unawful other human beings are.
Right.
There's room for it, but it shouldn't be your one big thing.
Capitalism.
Sweet, sweet capitalism.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, moving on to our listener. This is an interesting episode.
It is.
Good discussion, though. Good stuff. Jeez, heaviest hitting thing I've had in a while. Listener email discussion this week is from Dustin Faber. Thanks for sending it in, Dustin. His question is, hello to my favorite show. How are you? Do you like my hat? Recently this week, a NASCAR vehicle was stolen. My question to you is, if you could steal any retro gaming car, not any other vehicle, just a car, what would it be? I'd steal the car from the Atari 2600 version of Knight Driver. It's just a block, so it'd be easy to keep in good condition. Thanks for your blood, sweat, and tears. Dustin Faber. You can find him on Twitter at 16bitcatholic. What do you guys think? Best retro gaming car, the one you would want to actually own, the one you want parked in your driveway.
Own or steal?
What?
Why?
I guess it's the same thing. And how far can I push the definition of a car? Like, would an F-Zero thing be considered a car?
I knew it.
Yes.
I was
thinking along those lines.
Yeah. Because if not, I was thinking about this today, and a lot of the cars I'd be mostly attracted to are from movie adaptations. So, like, I'll take the Batmobile. That's a sweet car.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, I want the hovercraft from Rock and Roll Racing.
See, is that a car?
It drives on a road. I'm sorry, it hovercrafts on a road.
Like, Zach, it's a hovercraft.
It's still hovercrafting on the road. I mean, it's...
So is a tank, though. You couldn't bring a tank.
There is a tank in the game. Oh. It's not as good as the hovercraft. It out-hovers the craft. That helps. Heat-seeking missiles, boosts. I'll take it in green.
Ooh. Why green?
That was a sick green color on those cars. Yeah. You could change the paint jobs on the cars, no charge. Now, if you wanted to get, like, different wheels or more missiles, that costs money, but you could change that paint scheme, no problem.
Retro game cars.
Stick with the Batmobile. It's a sweet car.
There's some funny cars from, like, Mario Kart Double Dash. I wouldn't.
See, those are go-karts, though.
They're...
They
are four wheels in a
motor. He specifically said it had to be a car.
He was pretty particular about that. But that can't... That came
had to be
mind
a car.
Me. Yeah, it's...
If not, I'm just saying, like, you know what? I want a crazy spaceship.
I want a crazy spaceship.
Then it's yours, Jason.
Sweet.
Are you guys familiar with Road Blasters?
Yes.
No.
I'll take the car from Road Blasters.
It's a good car.
Jason, just so you know, it was originally an arcade game. It got ported to the NES. It's fun. It's like Rad Racer, but you can shoot the other cars, basically.
Sweet.
Correct.
I will take that car. Just like a normal car. Just a normal car. Except I can shoot other cars. But I'll take that.
Okay. If it has to be I'm doing air quotes here, a car, because I still want that hovercraft from Rock and Roll Racing. I would definitely take Sweet Tooth's ice cream van.
Ooh, of all the twisted metal cars.
Oh, come on, Jason.
That's it. He said it. He specifically pointed out it had to be a car.
Okay.
All right, then give me Twister's car.
All right, there you go. You're good.
I'll take Twister's car. Or is it a Formula One racer?
I would say an F1 racer is
it's a
less
race
of a
car
than a van. Have you seen a van? And an
it's a race car. A there's
van.
No race vans.
You shop it. And it, you,
there's got to be a race van somewhere.
There's got to be a race van. You're a race
International van get, racing. Well, there probably is.
Ridiculous.
NAS van.
What?
NASCAR.
Yeah, NAS van.
Never mind.
NAS van?
Yeah,
race car is spelt the same forwards as it is backwards.
True. I if I'm going with Twisted Metal cars, I'm gonna go with Outlaw.
Yeah, Outlaw.
It's a squad car that can electrocute other vehicles and people. That's why.
Come on.
It was always
Did
that
you
or
play
Warthog
as Outlaw?
Were my choices.
Yeah, Warthog was the best.
What about Minion?
Ooh.
Everybody wanted to play as Minion the second you fought him on top of that rooftop. You're like, oh, I want to be Minion.
That's not a car.
Dang it.
I always played as Mr. Grimm.
Abomination. You were a Mr. Grimm
That's
guy,
a tough play.
Huh? Yeah, that's...
Really?
No
yeah,
armor
that
there.
Was a tough
you're,
play.
You're...
Yeah.
Huh. Where I really want to play a Twisted Metal with you right now. I'll hunt you down.
Because he would destroy you.
I would play Spectre occasionally. I did like Spectre. Like, shooting missiles from anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like...
Spectre was good.
Spectre was good.
I think I mainly played as Roadkill. I think that was my... Because it was just a basic super missile.
Yeah.
See, my friend always played as Thumper. And in Twisted Metal 2 and 3, Thumper is fairly vanilla. It's a very average car. And I'm like, why do you play Thumper? And he's like... Because in the first one, he's so overpowered. And I'm like, no, he's not. And I didn't believe him. But he actually showed me. Like, he popped the disc out and showed me, put it in. If you look at the... Like, in the original game, it has, like, the star ratings by each, like, attack... armor, speed. Like, most of the cars have some combination, you know, 3, 2, and 1, or 4, 2, and 2.
Yeah.
Thumper is like a 5, 5, 4.
Damn.
Like, yeah.
And I did not believe him until I saw it with my own two eyes. I was like, wow, that's completely broken. He's way overpowered. So, retro gaming fun fact. If you're gonna,
yeah, but the car's purple.
Well, sure. But if you play the original Twisted Metal, you gotta go with Thumper.
Flamethrower was pretty sweet.
It's true.
Flamethrowers are pretty sweet. Good question, Dustin Faber. Good question.
Now I just want to play Twisted Metal.
I really would have played Twisted Metal.
Yeah,
right
I really do too. See, all three of us love Twisted Metal. We tried to record a whole episode devoted to it.
Oh.
Have we mentioned this publicly yet? Have we told everybody about that yet?
Yeah.
We've mentioned
it
before,
times.
Right? Yeah, I just like
that was almost 100 episodes ago.
Yeah, it was about 100 episodes ago. It was the first time we decided to do a theme-based showdown.
That's right. That's what it was.
And we lost it. We should have took it as an omen, but we didn't. We just kept going.
Oh, we're just stubborn. Three stubborn Canadians. That's us.
Wait, what?
Time for a music break.
We'll be right back.
And we're back! That was Ghost Grove by Platonist, a remix based on a track from Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Whatever that is. Speaking of whatever that is, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll each spend a minute introducing our choice. Then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the episode page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully, one of our arguments will sway you, or at least you'll have fun listening. In any case, 2 weeks ago, the theme was, I forgot, so I actually have to check my notes. The theme was games with important liquids. Classic theme. Classic.
It's a classic.
And sad to say, my win streak has officially snapped because Hunter won with Darkman.
Yes.
NES. For the record, I think that was the right choice. You got more than me and Jason's games votes combined. So congratulations, good. Hunter. Good job. It's what I voted for. So good work. And good work, voters, for getting out there and voting. You know, voting's important.
Mm-hmm.
If you have feedback about voting or other issues you wish to vote on, you can email us, podcast@onemorecastle.com. Just so you know, the important issues that Senator Bailey and Congressman Hunter will take care of for you. We'll go to bat on your behalf. Speaking of bat,
what does that make me?
Well, I don't know what Canada has. You don't have congressmen or senators, do you?
No, we have MPs.
MPs.
What does that even mean?
It's a member of parliament. We're really boring.
Okay, members of parliament.
God, we're boring. Gotcha.
Learned something else. Canada facts.
God,
everybody.
We're boring.
Anyway.
Tonight's theme... I like this one. This is brilliant, to be honest. Tonight's theme is games without coins, rings, gems, or stars. Again, that's games without coins, rings, gems, or stars. This was surprisingly hard. I was like, well, I'm just gonna pick like a Madden game, but then like there's stars in those games.
It's true.
Like there's like so much stupid crap they shove into every little game. So, that being said, if we're ready, traditionally I go first.
All right, you may begin.
So, for this week, I picked a game hoping I haven't brought it before. Now, why would I be scared that I may have brought it before? It's because it's a game show game, and if anyone's brought a game show game before, it would have been me. But
It's true.
I only picked this game because there's a video of it. Maybe I've talked about the video before. It's on tasvideos.org. That's tool-assisted speedrun. It's the most hilarious tool-assisted speedrun that I've ever seen. The game is Family Feud for Super Nintendo by Game Tech, released in 1993. Go to tasvideos.org. Look up Family Feud. Read the notes about the speedrun and what's going on. It's hilarious. The game's okay. You know, it's Family Feud for the Super Nintendo.
All right.
I love that game.
Game show games are fun.
All right. Hunter.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm queued up.
You may begin.
Thank you.
Let's keep going.
Metroid 2 for the Game Boy. Return of Samus.
Nice.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess I'll begin.
Damn, that's a good tune.
That is. That was nice.
That's a really good tune.
That was good. Jeez. Got chills.
All right. Here I go.
Good luck.
Your father. He's a bit destructive. In fact, he's destroyed a good chunk of the universe, including Earth's own moon. So as his son, the prince, you must go around reassembling these things from scratch, harnessing the power of the sticky, malleable ball called a Katamari. You travel across the world and the cosmos, rolling things up. Whether it be a cow, a schoolchild, or even just some loose thumbtacks, you're going to collect it all. It's Katamari Damacy for the PlayStation 2. And it's good.
So, first of all, very diverse group of games. Very interesting. Very different. Secondly, screw you guys.
No. Yes. Screw you for not sticking with the show theme.
What?
Hey, you collect points. That wasn't part of the theme.
Yeah, you collect money. Like dollar bills?
Does that count?
They're not coins.
That's like saying
hard cash.
I guess.
I think he sticks with. He's good. He sticks with the theme.
Okay, Jason. Yeah,
it's a stretch.
No. I will go ahead and enter this argument. I'm ready, because I had that thought. But in my mind, there is a significant distinction between fictional, whimsical character in his own made-up universe. Example: Mario, who collects in that universe actual friggin' big old gold coins and uses that currency for an in-game function, such as collecting additional lives. Mario, coins for lives. Okay, big difference between that and Family Feud, a simulation of an actual real-life game show in which flesh and blood human beings compete for money that will go into their bank account without nary a coin being involved. No coins. I mean, I get it from like a liquid asset standpoint, like, ooh, coins, the spirit of the currency. No, you know what? I'm sticking with my choice.
That's like if I brought like Medal of Honor and be like, you know, hey, my character's collecting bullets when he runs around.
I thought of that too. I was thinking like Doom.
Yeah, he's collecting ammo.
Like crates of ammo, yeah.
Yeah, that's not coins or stars or gems or rings. You could have done
that. Fine.
It's true.
Stick with Family Feud for the SNES.
Yeah, the rule wasn't no collectibles whatsoever. Like, we picked very pretty specific collectibles.
I mean, in my game, you're collecting Metroids.
There you go. So, game, you're a kleptomaniac.
A little bit?
In my game,
a little bit.
You may also be a kleptomaniac participating in a game show. You could be a serial killer that nobody knows is a serial killer yet.
Wow, so you're going beyond the game and creating storylines for the
is this why you
terrible
play
characters
board game
that are in the game.
And show
you
game,
guys don't
games.
Make up intricate backstories when they're not provided for you?
I mean, to myself, yes, but I don't share them with people.
Well,
that's crazy.
I don't necessarily always either, usually. No, I actually can I will confess, like, you guys don't understand the depth to which I do this. In the game, why am I forgetting it? On the NES.
That's
robot the base wars. I was gonna say the robot baseball game.
Okay.
Robard. Yeah, no, it's called Base
Robard.
Wars. I went through a season, and I mean, every player on my team had a personality. Like, they're just, because they have a last name. Like, they're robots with a friggin' last name. And I was mad with them. Like, one guy was addicted to grease. Like, you know, we have, like, human alcoholics. And
good God.
He goes out and gets greased after every game. He comes in, and he always comes through, because he's the power hitter, you know. I mean, he's a terrible,
destructive... Well, he's greased up. Isn't that against the rules?
...disgrace in his personal life. But on the field of play, he is a hero. Sacrifices for those he is fond of.
Wow. That's, you need friends, man. you need people to talk to.
I need less friends. Or more sleep. There's one guy on Twitter who teases
me. It's a combination.
Tweet at like 1 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. He's like, do you sleep? I'm like, sleep is a silly thing. I don't do that as much, though, anymore.
Sleep when you're dead.
I need sleep. No, you won't. You'll be dead. Why would you sleep when you're dead? I hate that saying. It's the stupidest saying.
It's the eternal sleep. The sleep for forever.
It's not sleep. Because if you believe in eternity and that it's relevant and significant and that it means something, then you believe you'll be alive for it. If you don't believe you'll be alive for it, then you're not sleeping
then
either.
You're sleeping.
No, you're not. Yeah. You're dead. If you believe...
You know what puts me to sleep? Family Feud.
No, okay.
Wow.
That
was pretty good.
I love this game. Family Feud for the Super NES is the perfect game to play with friends. This is easily one of the pinnacle games that I take on vacation. I've taken it on 3 weddings, destination weddings.
Holy crap.
And it was the highlight of the wedding, other than the actual wedding that had happened. Like, I brought a bunch of games, and you guys know me. I brought a couple of systems, so we had options, okay? And it was either Super Bomberman or Family Feud, okay? Now, the TAS video that you're talking about is absolutely hilarious, and at some points, not safe for work.
There are
a couple of interesting little... phrases.
I probably should explain it really quickly when you're done with your part here.
Okay. It was just one last little bit. The only problem with Family Feud is that it's a period piece of sorts. Like, if you did not grow up and know what the current events were of the game when it was released, a lot of the questions you're not going to get right, or the answers that you would suggest are more quote-unquote current that were never a possibility in the time that the game was created,
right,
which is a super thorn in the side of the game. But again, still funny because you're like, well, I never would have guessed a shopping mall, you know, like that. It's still kind of funny, but
yeah,
that's the biggest crux. And the graphics are terrible.
What is with game show video games and their inability to portray people? What is with that?
They're trying too hard is all it is. They're just trying too hard.
Have you seen Jeopardy on Game Boy? And the people you can choose from? They're like grotesque versions of cartoons. They're like, what if we tried to reach the uncanny valley in pixel form? Let's go there. Let's disturb people. Real quick explanation of the tool-assisted speedrun video of Family Feud. Rather than program every single possible misspelling for the answers that could have been given, rather than bother with building that dictionary, the programmers had kind of an interesting choice instead. They're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We will accept the answer and we'll recognize it when the player types it in as long as, and listen carefully, as long as the letters in that answer, the actual answer, appear in what the player types in the correct order somewhere. So if it was, you know, what's an animal that has fur? And you wanted to say cat, but instead you said crazy antics theater, it would accept that answer because C, A, and T appear in order. So in the video, right, Someone takes advantage of that knowledge and puts in some crazy answers, and it's
amazing.
It is
like some of the stuff is pretty
very,
inventive,
very funny
to say
stuff,
the least. Yeah.
See you later, dopes. Correct. It's on the board.
Garbage! 40, Yay!
42 points for you.
All right, Katamari Damacy.
Do we have to talk about that game?
It's pretty amazing.
It's been talked about.
That was the PS2 sleeper hit right there.
Yeah, that was the. This is a $19.99 title that we're just going to release because we finished it.
Yep.
Enjoy. Like, it was ingenious. I'm sorry. I love all of the games we brought tonight. It's going to be one of those nights.
I'm glad you like mine.
Praises and joys. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to vote for yet. Who am I kidding? I'm not going to vote. I never vote. I always forget at the last minute. It's too late. Yeah.
I used to vote twice, but I've gone down. I only vote once nowadays.
Wait, how do you vote twice?
Why have you been voting twice?
Different computers. Like, I'd
why would you do that?
Because he lost a lot when we first started doing this. Like, he was... We're talking like 15 to 20 episodes in a row.
Wait. He's been artificially inflating his score?
No.
And he's still losing.
Yeah. I have not been voting in a way that changes any outcomes. I can confidently say...
I mean, he is the editor-in-chief. I guess he can do whatever he wants.
There was one time it was tied, so I did vote for mine. I did do that once.
You son of a bitch.
Which one was it? Do you remember?
I don't. I should go back. Cause I think if I saw the three games, I'd be like, that was it. I don't. It was a long time ago, though. It was like super long time.
So I'm more interested to talk about my game.
What did you bring again?
Metroid 2, Return of Samus.
Oh, right. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
The whole... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, because I'm curious is because this Metroid 2 for the Game Boy was actually the first Metroid that I played from start to finish. Like, it was the first one that, like, I really put time and effort into completing, whereas in with Metroid for the NES, like, I probably played for about an hour. And then when I realized that I was lost and underpowered and ill-prepared, I just decided to turn it off. And I felt like the game was too, quote-unquote, adult for me. But Return of Samus goes completely against, in my opinion, what the original framework for the game was. So rather than going and defeating enemies and collecting power-ups, you were actually... it was kind of a scavenger hunt of sorts, where you were trying to capture and kill these Metroids. And I felt like there was more of an adventure and kind of like a treasure hunt thought to it. So maybe that's what tied it, because that's, I mean, I still love those things, like treasure hunting, adventuring. I love those things still to this day. So maybe that's what tied me to it. I mean, did you guys feel like the game, Bailey, did you feel like the game was overtly different to the point that it kind of separated itself? Or do you think it was for worse? Because I know Jason's probably never played this game.
I've played part of it, actually.
Really? Oh, wow. Gosh, I got to ask your opinion on it now, too. It's weird.
Yeah.
Usually don't do this.
You've never played it, Bailey?
Metroid 2? No.
Really?
Damn.
Damn.
What is this podcast about?
It's the weirdest night.
Man,
classic Nintendo game. Bailey, your opinion? None. Jason? Well, actually.
Actually, I've played it before. She? Metroid is great, she?
Because, like, Super Metroid is basically just Metroid for the NES, but obviously blown up to a much bigger scale.
Yeah,
but
I've played Metroid and Super Metroid and a little bit of Metroid Prime.
Wow. I think differently about you now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I haven't played every Nintendo game. I know.
I mean, it's Metroid 2, man. How could you not?
I'm familiar with it. I know. I would love to play it. So, if someone were to mail me the game, I would pop it into my Super Game Boy and play. I
feel like it was kind of the same idea that Nintendo did with Link's Adventure. Where, like, they were like, you know what? We're just going to completely turn this around and see what we can do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are assholes.
I played it.
Then talk to me about this game, Jason. I love this game.
Here. One, I didn't recognize the music when he played it, but it was catchy.
Oh, it's really good music.
That was damn good music. 2. I didn't really like it.
There's the Jason we know and love. There he is.
Yes.
I don't even want to hear your explanation. I really don't.
I don't like the Metroidvania genre.
What?
I don't like the Metroidvania genre.
It's like one of the best genres ever created.
It's boring.
It was created from two different games, and you put them together. You intertwine them. It's
I've
magic.
I've never been able to get into the side-scrolling Metroids, nor the Castlevania games.
My heart's bleeding.
Just who cares?
My God.
Really, that's where I'm going.
What have we done?
I don't know, man. You guys invited me on this thing. Blame Andrew. He suggested me.
I might. I'm gonna send him an angry email. Look, you're making me cry. There's a tear coming out of my eye right now.
The only gripe I have against Katamari Damacy is it's fun for like 30 minutes.
Oh yeah, it's not a game you could power hours at a time.
You kind of get burned out on it.
I'm gonna play a level or two.
Yeah, it's still a great game. Like the idea, the whole idea behind the game, and like how they marketed it and everything was ingenious. But it's a reason that it was only $20 when it was released.
I put it on my list of the top 50 greatest games of all time, actually.
Katamari?
Yeah, because it is so different.
Oh yeah, so
I think it's worthwhile. Like it's one of those games that everyone who's ever played it just loves it. And if you bring it up in conversation, you're like, oh, like everyone has a fond sentimental attachment to Katamari.
And you know what? The gameplay is so simple that even if you went back and played it now, it'd still be fun.
Yeah, it's universal.
Damn.
It's tough to criticize.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry I don't like Metroid.
Yeah, me too. I think the entire world is sorry.
So, yeah, I don't like Metroid. Right.
You don't like Metroid.
I mean, Metroid. Metroid,
yeah,
too.
Retro games starting with M.
I was really excited to talk about my game. So
You can talk about
it. No, I'm done talking about it.
Back and be like, uh-huh.
No, we're good.
Uh-huh, true.
Yeah.
True Hunter. So you can make stuff up. Yeah. We'd catch you on something.
Smurfs in the game. There's snorkels in the game.
Oh, can snorkels not become a thing, please?
Oh, it's totally becoming a thing now. We'll see. How it works out.
No.
Well, you don't like the snorks?
I'm not.
The snorkels?
I'm not on board with that.
The underwater smurfs?
The underwater smurfs. Why does the world need... What next? Smurfs in space?
Oh, please.
Oh, they made
my gosh.
It's called Avatar.
Oh. I don't know what that is. Is that a real thing?
Smurfs in space, man.
What's it called?
Avatar.
Oh, Avatar? No, I'm not watching. I've never seen it.
Not the animated show. The James Cameron Smurfs in Space.
No, I'm good.
Right. Oh, come on. It's 3 hours of...
What?
American symbolism.
I don't know.
It's
3 hours of, I can't walk. I can walk. CGI.
Come on, man. Reddit. Space Pocahontas.
There you go.
It was terrible. No, it was not good.
The only reason I just sock pianoed Avatar into this episode is because I was just thinking earlier today, why is that the top earning movie of all time? Why Avatar? What? What happened? How did that...
Marketing.
What?
Yeah. Hey, it looked really impressive.
I mean...
It was the first movie I saw in 3D. And the last movie I've gone to the theater willingly and seen in 3D.
There you go.
You just implied that you went to the theater unwillingly. Did someone force you to see a 3D movie after Avatar?
Yeah.
Have you never been forcibly pulled to the theater to watch a movie you didn't want to see?
I don't know. Nope, not me. My wife did once. And she never does it. I'd rather, I'm more of like a loner. Like I go to the movies alone. I'm really coming across as anti-human company.
You are.
Tonight. Jeez.
I'm just going to stay home and make up stories about the serial killer on Family Feud.
All I can say is I saw Titanic in theaters 3 times.
What?
Yeah.
What?
All against my will.
Okay, just, I was already going to say, this is probably unwilling.
And every time we went, there was a group, or at least a couple, but typically a group, that were completely shocked that the ship went down. I am not kidding.
No.
Like this.
No.
Welcome to Kentucky. This really happens.
Okay. Well, while like, we're sharing movie theater experience stories, quick one. Not related to retro gaming at all. Geek at best. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. First Lord of the Rings film. Mm-hmm. I went and saw it opening day with my uncle. Awesome experience. Awesome movie. I had read the trilogy of books beforehand to prepare. Sit there for hours. It's an experience. And the very final line of the film, Frodo puts his arm around Sam. And he says, Sam. And then in the theater, the film skipped. So it was like, Sam. And then the credits rolled.
Oh, that sucks.
And in the half the people were screaming. And the other half were just laughing.
Wow.
I thought there was going to be a riot. I've never seen anything like it. Like, I was actually like a little bit afraid. I was like, people are really freaking out. So I'll always know, if it ever comes up in some weird trivia, I'll always know because I looked it up later. The last line in Fellowship of the Ring is, Sam, I'm glad you're with me.
Yeah.
That's what we missed.
Wow. Good story.
But it was intense.
It's good.
Jason, your turn for movie story.
Oh, I was just going to say, because Hunter brought up the people who didn't realize the ship. When they originally showed Apollo 13 to test audiences, they got complaints that the ending was too Hollywood and that the astronauts would never have survived.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. My favorite ending change is Dodgeball. Funny movie.
Oh,
like, one of the, I don't like modern comedy mostly, but I like Dodgeball. That's a funny movie. The original ending, people hated it, and it's on the DVD. What happens is the Purple Cobras win.
Yeah.
Like there's this build up to like the last play, and then he just drills them, and they're like, yeah, suck it, and they win, and the credits roll. I laughed when I watched it on the DVD, but I guess I can understand if you paid to see it. Kind of weird.
Oh, I love when that happens in movies. It just crushes everything.
Like, oh.
It's like, yes.
Awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a lot of movies like that.
No, there's very few. Those movies don't sell, typically.
Most people don't like, they don't sit down for that experience. I watched a movie with my wife once where the ending was like kind of vague and didn't really conclude the story. And she was so bothered. And for the record, it wasn't a good movie. Like, there's good movies that do that. Like, No Country for Old Men. Love that movie.
Yeah.
Love it. One of my favorites. This movie we saw, it wasn't great. I'll just leave it there.
There you go.
Yeah. So, in conclusion...
We sure talked about games a lot on this podcast today.
Talked about microtransactions and mobile games. Talked about Canada. Talked about movies. Welcome to the One More Castle Retro Gaming Podcast, where we do nothing but talk about movies, modern gaming, and Canada. We got some retro gaming in there somewhere. You have to. It's you're digging for the nugget among.
That's them. Right. You're digging through the bullshit to find it.
I know what it is. The three of us have become too, what's the word I'm looking for here? There's a word for this.
Awkward?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Superficial?
No, we're not superficial.
A journey where there is no end?
Yes.
Group suicide.
Ooh.
This is going to be really dark.
Let's just all file our taxes together.
Yeah.
I already did it.
Download.
Yeah, me too.
Final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for one of the greatest Game Boy games of all? The reason there wasn't much discussion tonight is because normally I'm happy to get like super pissed at one of you, but I couldn't tonight. I was like, oh, jeez. So sorry, audience. I couldn't go into hyperventilating, angry argument mode. I took notes on the intros. Hunter didn't even have any words in his. It wasn't much to...
Was only
Hunter,
the beat.
Final argument. Why should anyone vote for one of the greatest Game Boy games of all time, Metroid 2?
You should vote for Metroid 2 Return of Samus because... This is really good. I love that song.
So just to clarify to the audio listeners, I'm pretty sure Hunter, if I'm seeing this correctly, he is holding up a real authentic Game Boy, just playing it into the microphone.
That's no, legit. Playing it off the mic? That's not... No, I'm not doing that.
I was gonna let them think you were.
I mean, if you've got 30 seconds, I can go grab it. I actually just put fresh batteries in my new Game Boy a couple of days ago.
Hey, Jason, the moment he leaves, close the door and lock it behind him.
Right. What?
Okay. Final argument. Jason!
You can collect stuff.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm done.
You can roll stuff into a really big ball.
Really big, awkward ball. That's all I got. That's the game.
Awkward balls. Episode title.
Yep.
You should vote for Family Feud because despite the legacy of the other two games in the showdown, Hunter actually brought up the best real-life example of the legacy of this game. I like how the two of them were trying to paint me as antisocial when Hunter's the kind of guy who brings video games to destination weddings. Just want to throw that out there. Yes.
To play with other people.
Well... whatever.
Now, whatever.
Family Feud is fun. There's a funny video of it online. What else? Just vote for the game. Just do it. Just click. Why do you care who you vote for? Like, it means so much to us.
It really
does.
Mean
that much to you? Just vote for Family Feud. Just do it. Why do you care?
Why are you arguing with me? Just do it.
Do it.
That's our podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I wanna shout out the commenters on the live stream: Valerie Minnick, Dustin Faber, Jared Waldo, Jonathan Higgins, Aaron Alcorn. Oh, I see a couple people that tuned in to watch, names I don't recognize. New viewers. I really hope you enjoyed. So that's cool too. If anyone wants to watch, you don't have to comment, but we do broadcast the live stream Thursday evenings, 7:30 p.m. Central. New episodes go up on Monday. Otherwise, you can watch the video or download the edited MP3. Thanks, Hunter, for your great work on that every week. If you want to send us emails, podcast@warmercastle.com. Again, although right now we have a decent backlog. We're good for at least like a month and a half.
No, don't say that. Send them anyway.
We're dead. We have none.
You're right. Please send them in. Don't like think like, oh, they don't need them. Like, no, we do. It's like a fourth of the show. It's just... we have an email? Yeah, we need an email. Hunter, any additional reminders for anyone?
If you want to talk to me and stuff, I'm on Twitter. You can talk to me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. I do a lot of writing and other audio-related activities. For all of that, Jesus Christ, what the hell is she doing? You can follow me or check out my stuff at erichunter.net. That's about it.
Cool. Jason, how about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And I'm just going to say, if you're going to be painting something, make sure you use good old-fashioned lead base paint.
Okay, well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Nintendo_legend. I don't write a lot, but I would like to get back to it soon. I've had plenty of excuses lately. I'm running out of them, though. I'm running out of excuses not to write. Running out. Hotline Miami 2 is the most recent one. I've been playing that instead. My tip is, if you theoretically got a new job and they use database software you're not super familiar with, but it's pretty intuitive and you've done database management before, and it asks for a range of items within a set, don't put in the first number and then leave the second field blank, because it will probably, in theory, if this were to happen to you, proceed to start printing out thousands of records because it thinks what you meant is, oh, from that one to the most recent. When that's not what you wanted to do, or hint at all. You just want to pick one. That's not the way to do it. Don't do it that way. Especially if it's a Unix-based program that when you go into your printers and load the queue and delete it from the queue and even go into the spool file and delete all the items there, it keeps printing until you turn the computer off.
You're giving me terrible flashbacks to my work, man.
And
so
the
if that were to happen
to fix,
yeah, if that happens to you, don't leave the second.
Just unplug it.
Don't leave the second.
Just
yeah,
unplug
yeah,
it.
Or open the tray and take the paper out. But don't leave that second field blank. Don't. That's not how to print just one record. Don't just screw around. Just ask or Google it or just figure it out. Don't
be a Bailey.
No, this is theoretical. I've never thought. Don't be a really dumb person.
Jason Lamb.
Who would make that noise?
Newt Gingrich. Al Gore.
Newt Gingrich. That's our show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Last but not least, audience, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.